Welcome to Clearing the Queue with Alex and Matt.
Here's how it works. Each episode starts with a friend of ours signing into their Netflix account.
Together, we scroll through their queue.
Ultimately, we find a movie that's been on there a little too long, and we watch it together.
The best part is that every queue is unique, so it tells a story about the person.
Here's a question. Are we going to record ourselves talking about the movie during the movie?
No.
This is not Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's, Clearing the Queue.
A Netflix podcast.
Here we are.
What's up?
Welcome to Clearing the Queue.
Welcome to Clearing the Queue. We've got Rachel and Chris.
The Nerdlies.
Hello.
Okay, the Nerdlies. You're our first brand that we have on
here. Well,
proud to represent our brand on the podcast.
You're a brand because you have your own stickers.
And yes.
That's sort of like...
That's true.
Because stickers equals somewhere you have a street team and hand those stickers out.
Street team meaning myself and whoever I send them to hopefully will just stick them on random things.
I gotta say, when we met, the first thing you did was hand me one of those stickers.
I did.
It was great. It's a great sticker.
But in all seriousness, you guys are... You are the Nerdlies, and you have your own podcast. People that don't know you aren't going to understand how apt Nerdlies is as a name for you guys. In fact, and I'm trying to come out how to attack this.
Well, because... let's go backwards.
Okay,
the Lees part. Mm-hmm. That's very appropriate.
Yes, that is our last name. It was very very easy to tack that on.
You could have gone with so many things.
Oh yeah, we had a whole bunch of really bad names before we came on the Nerdlies.
Yeah, that was mine.
That was yours. Yeah, you get to claim that one.
What is Rachel's? What is your maiden name?
My maiden name is Ryan.
The Nerd Ryans.
That would have been okay. No. Yeah, I don't know.
Not the same ring.
The Nerd Rees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nerd.
The Nerderies.
I just really
Nerdarians? I don't know.
All right, and then the first half, the nerd part.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are nerd. I mean,
oh yeah,
but like a very specific type. I mean, I was thinking about.
Well, I would almost call it like I wish I was more of a nerd that is very specific about what I nerd out about. Mm-hmm. But we are very broadly nerd.
I was gonna say it's probably easier to say in the words of Chris Canova, what nerd shit don't you fucks with?
Yeah. And there's not a lot Canova, that we don't.
Shout out.
Like, yeah. There's very few things that we don't really like.
I would actually like to hear
the only thing
those
we don't
first.
Do is like live action role playing.
Yeah.
Oh.
LARPing we don't do.
I'm so
yet.
Glad you brought that up because you guys do cosplay. You guys are going to Comic-Con. Yes. You've been to Comic-Con for many years.
Yes.
And you're going again.
Yes.
And yet you don't LARP.
Mm.
Nope.
You take the cosplay seriously, but the live action role playing not so much.
Is it the fighting?
Yeah. I think maybe that's it. We're not non-combatant.
Yeah. Very peaceful.
Well, I know Rachel doesn't like violence.
No.
She abhors violence.
Yeah, I'm not a.
Which we'll delve
not
into.
A violent. Well, I mean, I can deal with a lot of it. It's just. They're like super gore is not my forte, but like I can deal with people getting
like you wouldn't
shot
watch Hostel
and stabbed and stuff, yeah.
Right, and it's so like in live action roleplay, if you're like knights or whatever, that's just not your jam because you don't watch Game of Thrones even.
No,
which is
I've watched the first two episodes and then I didn't keep watching it because I know she doesn't watch
it. I read the first book and I really liked it. But
so last weekend, Hannah and I were at a bar and they were playing old Tom and Jerry cartoons on the TV. And I was laughing maybe as hard as she's ever seen me laugh. And she commented, like, this is really violent.
Oh, yeah.
And it had never really occurred to me that Tom and Jerry was violent. It's just funny because they're cartoons and they survive every antic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're, like, blowing each other up and, like, knocking each other in the
head. Wait a second. I mean,
that's like,
I specifically...
That's like Itchy and Scratchy kind of, like...
Right, because they were...
Totally.
A little bit more
I
real.
I don't ever recollect a bad thing happening to Jerry and Jerry the Mouse. And that made me... That's why I hated the cartoon. He was a smug little shit.
No, he gets fucked up pretty bad.
Jerry?
Yeah.
They've had some episodes. Yeah, I think
and
I
the
remember
ones we were watching. Yeah.
And
things would explode, and then he'd be all black, like covered in soot.
I think you'd be more remiss about the Roadrunner. Than,
oh, I hate the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
He never got his comeuppance.
No,
in my opinion,
not once. All the coyote wants to do is he lives in the desert, wants to eat something, and Roadrunner keeps messing it up.
Is it weird? Yeah.
And Acme, whatever he orders from, is awful.
Yeah, they're just making dynamite.
Yeah. I mean, basically.
Yeah.
Just lacing everything they have with dynamite.
Essentially.
Was that the rest of the Tom and Jerry story?
Yeah. Don't forget Anvils.
Oh, I just wanted to know how you felt about something like Tom and Jerry. Is that too violent for you? Okay. So that's the line. No, like I
said, it's more the like excessive gore.
We're on the verge of Rachel shutting down early into this podcast. We should just avoid future more further
talking. Talking about violence?
Yeah. Well, Chris, what I'm glad is like you said that it's one of the first questions is because it will inform what your cue's like.
Mm-hmm.
Is you said you don't watch Game of Thrones because of your wife. So I'm wondering what else has sort of like those sort of fingerprints. Like what are
I will put stuff on the cue that I mean to watch by myself too, that I just forget to.
But you have listened, so you know what comes first.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
So. Floating its way across the room is a plastic bag.
This is great to see it in person. Just
and you know Kevin's face.
You know the origin of the bag? No, this is the American Beauty bag.
That's the actual plastic bag from the movie American Beauty.
I'm trying to think if there is Kevin Spacey gets his head blown up, so maybe
he does say that in the first scene. So reach in there, grab a piece of paper.
We were bound to spoil American Beauty at some point.
Yeah, that's true. Podcast. And can you just read what it says at the top of that piece of paper?
Hey, Alex, this is not an American Beauty bag question. You just got punked.
I punked Alex. I put a piece of paper in the bag that's not actually a question. It's an email that we got today, and I'd like the Nerdlies to read that email aloud because it's an email from John of the John and Molly episode.
This was from the Outside Providence episode.
Correct. And he wrote in with a pretty entertaining anecdote that...
You want to say
I've never heard?
Okay. That you've never heard.
Okay.
Okay.
The subject is Braveheart.
Oh!
It says, this will mean nothing to you, not having seen the movie, but maybe someday you'll see it and this will bring some joy to you. A friend of mine has cousins in Ireland or Scotland, wherever they actually shot the battle scenes, and the crew hired locals to be extras when they were filming those sequences. In the scene where the British army brings out their reserve of Irish conscripts to fight the Scottish army, the direction was to run across the field toward each other and then stop when they got to the middle so they could reset and do another take. But by the time everybody got through costuming and makeup and the crew had set up their shot, an entire town's worth of Irishmen in their 20s and 30s had been standing across the field from each other holding fake axes and swords and pretending to be members of opposing armies for like 8 hours, and they would not be denied. So the director yells, "Action!" and 200 guys just ran to the middle and started beating the shit out of each other. They were all brothers and cousins and childhood best friends, so of course they had to do it. I just love the image of a film crew running in the middle of this massive brawl and trying to break it up so they could film a shot of two armies fighting. Anyway, some movie trivia for you.
That is delightful.
Well, that is great. Fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's a great little factoid.
That was thought one that was very delightful. Two was, what are conscripts?
I have no idea.
I don't know what conscripts are. And three,
Irish conscripts.
And three, is there any way to verify the accuracy of that?
No.
Okay.
Right. I don't know. We could Google it, but it's more fun.
It might
fun
be an IMDb
just...
trivia thing, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
I do. Mm. I am addicted to IMDb trivia.
Oh,
I don't know what it is about.
I'm addicted to IMDb taglines.
Oh, yeah.
But, so, have you heard anything good?
Every single movie that we go to, we'll go home and read the trivia. Or while we're sitting in the credits, especially Marvel movies, I'll sit there during the credits and pull up IMDb and pull up the trivia about the movie during the credits.
Christopher Lee, you might have just started a new tradition on clearing your credits. We'll definitely do it today, for sure.
Fun. Yeah. Like I said, a lot of times, on the way back from the movie, I'll just be reading it in the car to him.
And he's just giggling and just tickling.
It is fun because
I just like to picture
it's
you're driving.
Foreplay. I mean, what?
Just like, nice. Like you're just staring out the window and you're just nodding your head like, wow,
too much
nice.
Information. Oh, and by the way, conscript is.
Did you say that was
to enlist? Typically into the armed services.
Conscripts.
Yes.
She said it was our foreplay. She said that was too much information.
Oh, you just reading trivia?
We just sit here reading trivia to each other, getting hotter and hotter.
Well, I put all of the questions from the American Beauty bag into this other plastic bag. This plastic bag is from the Narita Airport. It was in Lost in Translation.
That is very nice.
You can actually pick an actual question out of that bag and then answer it.
All right, Rachel, you do it.
I'm glad you did one movie-related thing in Japan when you went. That's really good and fitting.
Yeah.
We snuck into Lost in Translation after we saw
Matrix. After The Matrix 2?
3.
Oh.
Name a movie you thought you were going to love but ended up hating.
Oh, that was the Oliver question.
Oh, we just did that one. Pick a different one.
Oh, okay. Sure. I think the one you would have
put it back in the bag. What a gentleman.
His answer was Pearl Harbor.
Well, the one you would have picked was probably Employee of the Month, though.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, she loved Dane Cook.
Well, yeah, well, me and my best friend were like, well, he had like a big, you know, stand-up, you know.
He did have a time when it was cool to like Dane Cook.
Yes.
And then I don't know when the moment happened.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like,
but it was funny. Me and my best friend, that was like our thing when we would watch his stand-up stuff, and we were just like, we thought it was hilarious.
If any listeners out there know when the moment Dane
Cook... It was May 2006.
Right. That sounds good.
Well, I mean, whenever it was that he started like stealing other people's shit, basically. It was like when it went all downhill. But anyway... Yeah. So me and my best friend were like obsessed with Dane Cook for a little while, and then we saw that he was going to be an Employee of the Month, and we were like, oh, I'm sure it'll be hilarious because it's Dane Cook. And it was the biggest piece of shit, and we fucking walked out about like maybe 25 minutes in. We were I'm done.
Who would have known a Dane Cook Jessica Simpson vehicle would not hold your interest?
Right?
Well, we did something. Me and Maddie did something similar with the movie Stealing Harvard, because that had Tom Green and Jason Lee,
who at the time were my two favorite people in the world.
I love Jason Lee. Jason
and that movie,
and did it had Martin Starr.
I saw it by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, not by myself. I saw it in Rochester, not with you.
Right.
And it was
so
terrible.
Essentially by yourself.
He wasn't there in your heart, so you're alone.
What's the question, the next one that you pulled
Newest
out?
Newest question. Name your guilty pleasure TV show. Guilty pleasure.
Listeners will know that guilty pleasures are a bit of a hot button.
Yeah,
I should
put in a sound that goes dun-dun-dun.
Are we talking scripted TV shows or like reality TV?
No, guilty pleasure, whatever.
Just whatever. It's Dog the Bounty Hunter.
That's a great
answer. She loves Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I love it so much.
I didn't know that it was still on, to be honest.
It's now called...
It's called Dog and Beth on the Hunt is what it's called now.
Did he evolve his...
And
no.
I want to be clear. I do not really like them as people. I just... have a secret like desire to be a bounty hunter because I just want to kick somebody's door in someday.
That's
and like just the whole like going and like doing like research about someone and like all this.
I mean,
like,
so how much
and, like,
of what he does is like investigation?
Like
I think a lot
amount.
Of it.
Yeah.
They,
or like
well the on the hunt
they like don't put that part in the
like
show.
That.
They just want to
keep
the door kicking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The on the hunt one is interesting because they actually basically teach other bounty hunters to be better bounty hunters.
Yeah,
so it's kind of funny to see.
That's the thing now
like,
is like it's not really so much because it used to just be about them, like their companies that they had.
Bounty hunting in a vacuum, very interesting. Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's
well,
like
you
the
just
Steve
don't like dogs.
He's like the, yeah, that's true. He's like the Steve Irwin of like.
But I guess that's what makes it the guilty pleasure is that it's like he's so horrible, but it's almost funny just to like see how horrible.
And to see Beth just yell at people.
Yeah, and just
kind of funny.
Just see her demean people and fucking yell at them when they treat her like shit. So it's funny.
I guess mine would be the OC.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Play the dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
I will preface this by saying it is the first two seasons. First two seasons of the OC. The third and fourth season.
I would like to counter that with he owns all the seasons on DVD.
I only own two.
But he only feels guilty about the first two.
I don't have three and four.
Oh, okay.
I feel guilty that I watched the last half end of three because I got kind of annoyed by it. And then I did not watch season four at all.
I think me and Maddie were recently in the car talking about like our favorite theme songs. Because we were talking about the Scrub song, and how the Scrub song is actually very terrible. If you, but the Fantagram or Phantom Planet.
Phantom Planet, yeah.
Underratedly good
song. Oh, it's great. It's why I moved to California.
it's fantastic.
I was.
Well,
it
was great.
He was 50-50. Listening to that the whole ride over.
I definitely put it on my playlist when we finally were going to move out here, on my headphones in the airplane or whatever, when we were moving out here to play as we moved it.
Why we did the dun-dun-dun thing, because the OC was what Maddie... When I finally twisted Maddie's arm into saying, come on, just don't be a dick and answer the question. He actually said the OC was his.
Once upon a time, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, if you like the OC...
They lost me in the third season because I loved Seth as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not think that his character, as they wrote it,
right,
would delve into... not that I'm against smoking pot... But he became like a deviant too.
Right.
So like he completely changed characters as he was smoking. So like it wouldn't have bothered me if he just smoked weed.
It didn't jive with the character.
Why is his character completely changed?
I had a similar issue with Ryan, who stopped punching people.
Yes.
The he beginning did stop of the show, his whole thing was he would punch people and it was great. And then he stopped punching people. So
all
I stopped
right,
watching.
Rachel, anyway. Let's talk
I know,
about
this is,
let's get into this cue.
Anything else. I don't know anything about
it. So you've signed in to your Netflix queue.
Let's set the ground rules. This has to be something that you both agree to want to watch.
Okay. Yeah, so. We're going to find something that you both want to watch on here.
I'm sure.
And I'm going to make some predictions about a couple of the things on here that that maybe you don't both want to watch. The first movie you have is Spotlight.
Yes.
Critically acclaimed.
Oscar nominated.
Mm. Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit... I wanted to watch this movie because I'm a journalism major, so it interests me.
No, yeah, I like, just from seeing the stuff... Because, like, for some reason, I didn't really see anything about it until I actually was watching the Oscars, and then, like, every, like, featurette about it, I was like, I want to see that. So,
I was recently told that I should see it, and when I said, yeah, but do I want to see it? They said, you should see it. And I couldn't get a straight answer. This was from my family on like whether I actually like would enjoy seeing it. And they're like, well, you know, you don't have to like enjoy something to. And I was like, well,
kind of. Kind of should.
But they said it was great. My whole family saw it and said it's less about like priest pedophilia and more about reporters.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good sell for me.
I just, for some reason, everyone was like doing backflips about Rachel McAdams, and I will, to this day, just be like, I don't get why people thought her.
Have you seen this?
I did.
Oh. And?
Not doing the hard sell.
No.
That's fine.
You know
that's
I'll
fine.
Give you the hard sell.
All right. I also know that you've seen the next movie, which is Hot Fuzz.
I have not
what
seen
is your
Hot
take
Fuzz.
On that whole the whole trilogy, that whole world?
The whole Simon Pegg and company.
I honestly... This is going to sound horrible as the part of the Nerdlings, but I have not watched any of them.
Shaun of the Dead?
No. I like Simon Pegg and everything else I've seen. I don't know why I haven't watched any of these movies.
What about even like the one with Michael Cera and the video games?
Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Yeah. Scott Pilgrim
that's
I definitely watched.
One of my favorite
watched.
Movies of all time.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing like that, but you know... Man, why can't I think of the director's name? He did
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright's movies have a visual style that
saw
like
Edgar Wright.
Yeah, we attended a screening of it was
Black
Tron
and
the
Tron,
Black Hole
yeah.
at the Egyptian, and Edgar Wright was sitting a row in front of us.
Yeah, I gotta say, I prefer Hot Fuzz to Shaun of the Dead. People typically, I don't know if that's a hot take.
Mm-hmm.
For Hot Fuzz.
That's
but the things that Hot Fuzz parodies
are
a lot funnier and get funnier the more you
okay.
watch. It's a parody of like Bad Boys gets really like a lot of like...
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
The next movie on here is The Giver.
That is
Lois
Lowry's...
I have seen it, and he has not, but I want to watch it again, too, because I haven't seen it in a long time, but that was a book that I read as a kid, and like it was just... It would just make my imagination go wild. It was just, like, such a crazy, like, you know, almost like mind fuck of a thing, especially when you're young, to think about like almost like a dystopian future type scenario. Is,
I
like,
feel like
nuts. It's like pretty heavy.
And it's crazy. And I feel like Alex and I read that like for Hebrew school.
Oh,
I feel like for some reason they had us read that in Hebrew school. That can't be right.
I feel like you read it relatively young because it's a short-ish book.
Yeah, yeah, like I said, I read it in fourth grade. I remember that, yeah.
This is not The Giving Tree we're talking about.
No.
The not The Shel Silverstein poem.
That's really short. That's really short, yeah. I don't even think, I think I was too young to learn the lesson, too. I don't know when that lesson really kicks in. The lesson of like just... Yeah.
I think if you go back and read the books that you read when you were a kid, I just recently reread Great Gatsby, and I'm like, man... As an adult, this speaks to me way more as an adult, because now I know about relationships, I know about, like, different levels of richness or wealth.
Like, good point.
West Egg.
I would that's not
why,
have...
I think that's why, like, what's the book with Atticus Finch, To Kill a Mockingbird? Yes. Because it's told from the point of view of the kid, so...
Right.
You can somewhat...
Yeah, you can somewhat understand,
I never thought about that. Fucking Gatsby. No wonder Gatsby sucked. Or the fucking, the one, The Great Expectations.
Great Expectations, yeah.
I wonder if Great Expectations would get better as an adult. Probably not, though. That one's kind of boring.
It was rough. So, I'm excited because the next movie you have on here is also in my queue.
Okay.
And the reason it's in my queue is because I watched The OC, and it played a pivotal role in an early OC episode. This movie is Hellboy.
Yes. I don't remember it very well.
You don't remember Hellboy?
I don't remember it very well.
Oh, yeah.
But she's Hellboy. Seen it. She loves it.
And it's actually, strangely enough, it's one of my mom's favorite movies.
Wow.
I just realized it. Because I don't know how it came up, but she was like, we were talking about it somehow, and she's like, oh, every time that movie comes on, I watch it from start to finish. She's like, I fucking love it.
I mean, wow. We don't know your mom. Holy crap. We don't know your mom, but is your mom a typical mom?
She's very sci-fi. Like, she really, like... When I started reading Harry Potter, she, like, started and then surpassed me, like, way quicker than, I could read. Like, she's very, like, she really does, like, fantasy stuff.
I like to picture at, like, the dinner table, she's, like, spoiling stuff from, like, Harry Potter books for
oh,
you.
And then this guy died. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No. But, like, I actually, like, for her birthday, I bought her a wand. So that I could take her to Universal Studios, because when I was there the whole time, I was like, oh my god, my mom would love this. Oh my god.
Look at you guys.
That's great.
Yeah, but.
I'm equally excited about the next one on here, which I've never seen. Galaxy Quest.
Yes. We have never seen it either.
Oh.
That is one, like, that. If there's a movie that is referenced by a ton of people that we know, it's Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a big hole in our nerd watching.
Yes.
I haven't seen it either, and I feel all those feelings that you just felt when you felt them.
Everyone, I know.
Just go, like, don't even, no,
maybe. Just like, yeah, go watch it now.
I mean,
I've heard all the same stuff.
Yeah, like, everyone I know references it. Obviously, people reference it a lot during when Alan Rickman passed away, and my tattoo that says Never Surrender, which is unrelated to this movie, every once in a while, like, 10% of people are like, did you get a tattoo because of Galaxy Quest? I'm like, no. This is definitely not.
I mean, the fact that you guys are like comic convention goers, like that's a whole big thing in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's going
to
be hard to
tell. Yeah, this is going to be the one. Yeah. Although, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yes. That was one movie where we both
should have called it Train Harder.
How to Train Your Dragon, the first one, when we went into the movie, because we went and watched it in 3D, we were both pleasantly surprised by the movie.
How to Train Your Dragon 2 is Rotten Tomatoes at its best for me, because I was like, it just looked like another generic, like, non-Pixar movie, and it was really good. Really smart.
We still haven't seen it yet, for some reason, the sequel.
Yeah,
and we watched...
You haven't seen one?
We watched one, and that was one that just surprised us. We thought we were just going to go and watch a generic kids...
Well, you know, like, animated sequels, I mean, sequels in general are never as good as the first, but I don't know, animated sequels typically, did you see Finding Dory by any chance?
Have not yet, yeah.
I did. And I loved it.
Yeah?
Oh, it was great.
I'm sure I'll love it too.
I saw it by myself on a Monday afternoon when it was 113 degrees, and I was like, the only thing I can do is go to the movies.
You were to think ocean thoughts.
It was great.
That's like the perfect day to watch it when it's 113 degrees out. You get to go in nice, cool theater and just watch water stuff around you all the time. All
right, Bogdanow, find me something that can upend Galaxy Quest.
Well, there's a strong one on the next line, which is 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yes. That is also a very classic sci-fi.
I understand all the references and stuff because, you know, I've seen, you know. And
it's
I know about it, but yeah, I've never actually watched it start to finish.
Our last guest, Oliver, was chastising us about our distaste for older movies. And I will say, I also had a thought of really, it was one of those, I got a good comeback. He said that we're a film podcast. We're not a film podcast. Technically, we're a people podcast uses film as its vehicle. So suck on that. But
you wish you would have thought of that episode.
But I was going to say, like, this is a perfect example. Like, between Galaxy Quest and Space Odyssey, like, I know the beats of Space Odyssey, and we're just going to come out of it like...
And it's a long movie.
The face that I'm making.
It's 2.5 hours long.
Someone describe the face I'm making.
Hold on, I'll take a picture of it. So we'll post this so that everybody can see.
Yeah,
I think that's face a little longer.
I think he could. If we watched the movie, I think he would have held that for the entire run of the movie. But yeah, 2.5 hours of an older movie that we kind of know the beats about already.
Yeah, we've seen all the
parodies. And it's been referenced in other movies a ton.
Again, I ask you, top Galaxy Quest.
Well, you've got a movie that everybody has seen the little icon of on Netflix, but nobody has added it to their list except for you. It's it's the Sean William Scott vehicle, Goon.
Yes.
He plays a hockey player.
And I added for myself because I've heard nothing but great things about it, actually, from people, like, just surprisingly good things about it.
Read the subtitle.
Because
a hockey hooligan gets his dream job. He doesn't have to outplay the other team. He has to beat the hell out of them.
That's great. But yeah, like, I love hockey movies. Mighty Ducks brought me into loving hockey as a sport. So anything that's hockey based, I went and watched Miracle when it premiered.
You still hate Iceland because of the Mighty Ducks series?
A little bit, just a slight little bit.
He's like, fuck Iceland.
Yeah. But he always triple deeks and shoots to the glove side, so we're good. He got his move down.
There's a couple more that we should just briefly touch on.
Okay.
You've got Jedi Junkies.
Yes.
Which appears to be a documentary about the two of you. Step inside the world of obsessed Star Wars fans. There's passion, creativity, and a little bit of crazy.
Yes, and I saw it on there and I added it.
Another Star Wars like documentary was the wasn't it like Why George Why or something like
that? Oh yeah. Yeah, I think you saw that one.
That was a really good documentary too. But
do you have any sort of interesting take on the prequel trilogy?
I do remember one specific thing that I hated about prequel number one, which was, why the hell is Anakin making C-3PO? That was my biggest top gripe coming out of the movie.
There was really no reason for that.
Absolutely no reason to bring C-3PO into this.
No reason whatsoever for that.
No, like, you couldn't, like, I don't know how he would have explained that to himself. Like, George Lucas in a writing room, like,
show
you know, Anakin is...
Maybe that he's a genius.
Yeah.
I'll play devil's advocate. Okay. Here's how he justifies it. People fucking love C-3PO. So just put him in the movie somehow.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
They're like, we can't make the Happy Meal toys of C-3PO if he's not in the movie.
Yeah.
So put him in this movie. Mm-hmm. They loved him the last three times.
I can see that was the line of...
You should just do this the line of reasoning. I'd love to hear the devil's advocate thing for everything. Can you do your devil's advocate for why the Catholic Church covered up the pedophilia scandal? Do it. We'll make the disclaimer that you're just playing a character. Devil's advocate, come on.
He's doing the mental gymnastics in his head right now. This is the floor routine of a lifetime.
I think I just made his brain hurt because he's the quintessential arguer. So to have him argue against something that he's fundamentally disgusted by. Do it.
Man.
Now I got nothing. You did it. Yeah.
Stump mode.
You broke me. I
don't know if Matt can continue with the podcast anymore.
I know it's going to be really hard for me to focus now because I'm trying to think of possibly
looking at the list of movies we had. I'm like, yeah. Oh, let me see if he can justify any of this. I'm like, oh, let's see if he can do the Catholic Church.
I'll throw one more out there, and then obviously we're just going to watch Galaxy Quest. You have a movie called I Am Santa Claus.
Yes, and the only reason I put that on there is, I don't think Rachel even knows I put this on there.
No. The look, can we take a picture of that look that she's giving you? Which is
That's a very normal look for her to give me, I think. Uh-huh. it is a documentary about Mick Foley, who was Mankind in WWE, his obsession with Christmas and being Santa Claus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think
that actually sounds interesting.
Like Nerdist?
Mick Foley on the Nerdist podcast, as I am a very avid listener podcast, and he was talking about a lot of it. And I guess Mick Foley is just in love with, you know, Christmas and stuff like that.
How many minutes
collects
is that?
A ton of that?
129.
Do you think he gets hit with a steel chair in any?
Not in the little icon right here. It says this movie is inspiring.
Are we ready to be inspired tonight?
No, we should fucking watch Galaxy
Quest.
Yes.
Galaxy Quest. We'll come back with some IMDb trivia from the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Cool.
We'll join you after.
And the listeners are going to get to hear the trailer for Galaxy Quest.
In the far reaches of the galaxy, a civilization is under siege.
We are all that is left.
They've searched the universe for a leader.
Stay tuned for scenes from next week's Galaxy Quest.
Never give up. Never surrender.
He will save us.
What they got.
Never give up and never surrender.
We're struggling TV actors.
You are our last hope.
Where's my limo?
Okie dokie.
And they're about to put on a command performance 8 million light years away.
We are actors, not astronauts.
You are our protectors.
That was a hell of a thing.
Now,
Laredo, take us out.
You gotta move to the right.
Would you sit your ass down? You wanna drive this thing?
Acting like heroes.
The whole thing was just a misunderstanding.
May not be enough.
They look like little children. Hi, little guy.
I'm done.
DreamWorks Pictures presents Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman. Galaxy Quest.
You're just gonna have to kill it.
Well, go for the mouth, the throat, his vulnerable spots.
It's a rock, it doesn't have any vulnerable spots.
All right, we're back. We watched Galaxy Quest, and I fucking loved it.
Yes.
To the point that's where awesome. I didn't even write any notes down. When the movie started, Alex said, I kind of don't even want to write any notes. I said, no, you should.
No, I took notes and I didn't want to I was writing them.
And after me basically like shaming you into taking notes, I didn't take any because I was just having too much fun.
All right, well, I'll get the big ones out of the way. This was made for $45 million. Mm-hmm. It made $70 million. It came out on Christmas 1999.
Okay. There we go. Do you want to do a brief recap?
Yeah, let's do it.
Just off the top of our heads because I didn't write one down.
So this is about a fictitious Star Trek space opera cast TV show starring Tim Allen, and they are 20 years later, they're just out of work, living off the fame of their youth.
Making Comic-Con type appearances.
Yes, very much like what the William Shatner types.
Yes.
Tim Allen plays a William Shatner.
He plays William Shatner.
Definitely.
He plays
William definitely a William Shatner analog.
Yeah.
And things go awry when all of a sudden real aliens come down and pluck them.
And they've been watching the TV show from space and think it's real.
And pluck them to become a part of an actual mission to save their race.
Yeah.
And hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah. That's an apt description, I think. That's a very good summation of what happened. I basically knew most of the plot line, like, of what they were going to do, but I definitely was not expecting how much fun this movie was.
Or what about all, like, the little cast member surprises?
Oh,
cast surprises.
Just, I mean, let's go through them.
So Rainn Wilson, Dwight Schrute, made a cameo appearance. Justin Long.
Justin Long was a big surprise. She loves Justin Long.
I love him. So, well, I mean,
what is it about Justin
Long?
Well,
I think honestly,
you can relate to him.
It's,
he's everyman.
His Zach and Mary performance.
Yes, me too.
I'm a huge Cats fan, and so like just that fucking.
And he's playing
Brandon,
that character in this.
Brandon,
yeah.
Speaking of Kevin Smith,
Brandon St. Randy.
Dogma's Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Was
his most famous role.
Well, I bring up Dogma because it came out the exact same year, and I was looking through Rickman's casting to see, like, was this his first comedy? And it looked like it was.
Yeah.
And he did Dogma and this in the same year. So
that's
it was
fantastic.
Like, yeah, it was like.
Got to stretch his wings a little bit all in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
And he had wings in Dogma.
Oh, he did. He did.
Nice.
Tim
Allen, good tie-in. That was
Tony
a good tie-in.
Shalhoub, Monk
yes.
was in it.
Sam Rockwell was a huge surprise to me.
Because he was such an integral part of, and maybe like he was plucky comic relief, which they made a joke about.
He was great.
Well, he was also great because he's at his best when he's playing like this like kind of cackling douche.
Yeah.
That's like a foolish pride.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Gets his comeuppance, and that's what he was.
That's kind of his, that's his MO right now, like as characters, like that's his best. It's definitely his best role.
I know the Hitchhiker's Galaxy movie didn't quite like make the cultural impact that like the book did, but he was in that and he played that character.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he played the same type of character. Alan Rickman was also in Hitchhiker's Guide.
He was the robot.
Yeah, the Martian or the Marvin the Depressed Robot.
All right, I have a pitch for a spin-off podcast that the four of us could start: Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Quest. And we just talk about the crossover between the two movies.
That would be great. That'd be great.
I mean, where do you go? I mean, what was so cool about this? Well, first of all, like, because you guys are going to Comic-Con, like, I thought the Comic-Con stuff felt very now.
Yes, it
even
did.
Though it was like, so in 1999, it was like way ahead of its time.
And you know, the thing, like, the big plot point in the movie at the beginning was Tim Allen's character realizing that he's kind of a joke to some people, which he doesn't think he is. He takes himself like, he's a fans guy or whatever. He loves the role and all that stuff. And then he hears someone ironically joking about him in the bathroom or whatever. And it kind of throws him for a loop. Yeah, a troll. Which is pretty apt for now, because I think there are people who go to conventions to ironically make fun of the things people are excited about.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was kind of, it hit a little close to home on that. But I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff is kind of timeless. The only thing that made me feel like it was dated was corded telephones in somebody's house.
Oh, right. because the visual effects were
really
good.
Yeah, it was Industrial Light and Magic and Stan Winston's school.
So they pulled out all
the
guns for that type of, like, for practical puppetry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the VFX were insane. Like, there's a whole scene on the rock planet with, like, these little aliens. And they're not bad. Like,
I've seen much worse movies recently.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was frankly shocked at how good. The Matrix came out in 99.
Yes.
And this had way more like high risk, like high leverage type effects that were integral to making the plot like seem legitimate. And
for sure.
It was impressive.
Yeah. It was great to see. I think that why this movie resonates with so many people now and why I've seen a reference to from so many people is because it has a lot of heart to it, even though it's like a comedy. There's a lot of heart inside of that movie.
I teared up a little.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, when especially that.
Yeah, I wrote this quote down for me. Chris said it in the middle of it. He's like, "I am legitimately surprised at the production value."
Yeah, it's one of those movies where I kind of expected. I don't know what I expected. I expected just a little bit of a hokiness, just because it is, you know, it's a sci-fi comedy. You don't think that they're going to go all out on production for a sci-fi comedy.
Yeah, I guess historically I'm not like a huge fan of Tim Allen in general, so I think maybe that might have turned me off. And I was reading something that said that Harold Ramis was initially like...
Is this IMDb trivia?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Are you trying to slip in IMDb trivia without us segueing and making note that this is IMDb trivia? like I just heard an anecdote, yeah.
But he was initially like going to direct it, I guess.
Harold Ramis?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And he wanted to cast Alec Baldwin, and Alec Baldwin turned it down. And then he also tried to get Steve Martin and Kevin Kline involved. And then when Tim Allen was cast, he jumped the gun because he thought it was going to be terrible. I guess he said that he, like, after watching it, he was actually surprised by and impressed by his performance.
Well, what's so funny about that? We saw Outside Providence on this podcast, and that was in 99, and that was Alec Baldwin in his weird tweener period where he was not quite the sort of like older guy that we know now, and he wasn't a leading man, and yet this would have been the perfect role.
It would have been a great role for Alec Baldwin.
What a great what if that would have been.
Yeah.
Tim Allen was better, though. He was better than Alec Baldwin would have been in this role.
If you're comparing Outside Providence to this movie, yes. I haven't watched it, but I listened to that podcast, and it sounds terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was real bad. But this was fantastic. What else you got on that IMDb trivia?
Hit us up with something really good, something that's going to knock our socks off.
Yeah, knock those socks off.
I want to know what other movies came out that Christmas weekend.
Oh yeah, I wish I told you that.
One of the things that I thought was cool said in theaters the film was presented at 1.851 like aspect ratio for the first 20 minutes, and then when Tim Allen first realizes he's on a real spaceship and the vista of the Thermia is revealed, the screen image just widens to 2.35.
That's awesome.
That was the theatrical.
That's in the theatrical run.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Maddie thought he fucked up our TV's aspect ratio because of the way...
Well, on Netflix for the first 2 minutes...
It's 4:3,
yeah.
Which would have been the original TV show for Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely throws you for a loop for a little bit.
The significance of this being a Christmas movie is, to me, big because as a Jew... On Christmas, there's two things that we do. We eat Chinese food and we go to the movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did not go to the movies in 1999.
What'd you Christmas.
Do? We got to go back. We need the Omega 13 machine to go back all the 13
seconds.
What I can
tell you is what movies were in the Cineplex at all that time.
Okay.
The Green Mile.
Why are you calling it a Cineplex?
Because I don't know.
I feel like that's the first time that's probably come out of your mouth. You got to think of new ways to describe the theater, so... The Cineplex.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't call I call actors thespians. The Talented Mr. Ripley. Any Given Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
With
Oliver Stone.
That was Jamie Foxx's serious turn. Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Mm-hmm.
Bicentennial Man.
Okay.
Stuart Little.
Okay.
That was written by M. Night Shyamalan, by the way. Man on the Moon, Jim Carrey's Man on the Moon.
What you saw.
That's what I saw.
Yeah.
On Christmas. Cider House Rules.
Yada, yada, yada. I mean, Green Mile is a big movie. Obviously a big movie at that time, too. So a lot of people were over there.
What did you do on Christmas 1999?
Oh, let's see.
It was 4 days until the Y2K.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I did. I was probably on the internet. And
I was in Washington, D.C.
You lead a much more interesting life than I did in 1999.
I saw Will Smith.
What?
Mall.
She's,
remember that. Yeah. Will,
what song did
he play? I think he did like NG with her or something like that.
That is
amazing. Well, he had a song called Will 2K. So
he probably did that would have been too.
It. Then. He branded it like I mean, you guys as the nerdlies, you know branding. He branded it the Willennium.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. I remember that.
Oh yeah, yeah I'm I remember sure that there now. Was some reference to that. Just, but
no one never caught on though. But like, it's like, hey,
freezing cold.
It might have caught on for like a week.
Guys, we couldn't actually get on the mall at the time because it was just like I call it so the Willennium. Many people. So we were like on the other side of like the street or something, and then like. Once the midnight actually hit and everything, people, like, dispersed, and we, like, went, like, toward the reflecting
You
pole.
Saw Will Smith on the Willennium?
Yes.
So to be clear, the Willennium, are we in it now? Is it the one that started?
So, yeah.
That's why it's so brazen. Years? That's why it's such a brazen thing.
Yeah.
He claimed wow. the next the entire, Willennium.
Yeah, the whole Willennium. We're living in it. We're just living in his world.
We're 16 years into the Willennium.
It's just a shame that this movie came out before the Willennium actually hit.
Right, yeah. This was in the last Willennium.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys can't. I can't tell you how happy I am to talk about this. I'm like, this has like been weighing on me. Like, I'm like, these people just don't respect the Willennium.
No,
days.
They don't. We got to bring it back. You got to let people back. Know.
Well,
Suicide Squad, see it.
Yes,
starring Will Smith.
We should rate this movie.
Okay.
We should rate this movie out of the Netflix 5-star system.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm going to give it.
Yeah, I think I know. I think we know.
I know what you're going to give it.
You're gonna Do
give
you?
It, you're going to give it 5 stars.
I'm going to give it 5 stars.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah.
I don't have a good poker face.
I'll go 5 myself.
I've been fucking five. Smiling like an asshole for the last 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
It was just good. It's it was so just fun. Good. Can you imagine if we saw 2001 A Space Odyssey?
No, I would be asleep. I would be asleep right now, I think.
But Alex would have been asleep.
For the record.
He'd have woken back up. Yeah, give us your star rating, Nerdlies.
I'm going to go with 4 just because I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. I think maybe that's why it lost a little bit on me. Mm-hmm. But I still thought it was really, really funny. Because
you
pretty
still got
awesome.
Lost in the trivia.
Yeah.
I could see waking up tomorrow and thinking, I should have given it 4. It's not my favorite movie of all time. I'm just so happy right now. It was so fun.
It was really fun. I would give it 5 stars right now. Might drop down to maybe 4.5 tomorrow. Yeah. I would say, like, if I was going to give it a 0.5 star, it'd be 4.5.
Who wouldn't like this movie? Who wouldn't like this movie?
If you just don't get sci-fi.
What would Rachel's mom say about this movie?
I think Rachel's mom would love it.
Mom would like it. Yeah, she may have already seen it.
Nerdlies, plug some shit.
Well, we do our show also. We are also on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. You can go on thenerdlies.com and watch all of our, see all of our posts. And we're on Facebook. Twitter,
your street
Instagram.
Team and your street team.
Yeah, my
just...
street team's everywhere. We had a sticker at a Mexican taco shop in Arizona, which is now cleaned off, so we have to go back and put it back in there.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Nerdlies pretty much everywhere. You can just search us on Google and stuff
this
like that and find us.
One of the easiest podcasts we've ever done.
So easy. We didn't even need to pick a movie. The movie picked us.
Yeah, basically.
We're destined to watch Galaxy Quest.
Mm-hmm. Well,
never give up.
Never surrender. We've got good news.
Yeah, we've got good news for you guys.
You two are now one step closer to
clearing the queue.
That was Clearing the Queue.
If you have heard anything you like or know that we were just dead wrong about,
you can email us at clearingthequeue@gmail.com. Q is spelled Q-U-E-U-E. That's a tough one.
And if your thoughts are funny, we'll read it on air.
Follow us on Twitter at CTQ Podcast, Instagram at Clearing the Queue, Facebook.com/clearingthequeue.
Subscribe on iTunes?
Yeah, subscribe on iTunes. I don't know how you do that.